have a personal action.
I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
I'm calling your name, 'cause I need.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Bishop Dr. Scott and Evangelist Patricia Benjamin, and we want you to know that today we are live. Yes, we are. If you listen to the archives, then you missed it. This one is live, and we're taking call-ins and praying with you and seeking God's blessings with you. If you want to call in, come in. For those of you who are coming in by way of Skype or listening over your computer, dial 213-943-3667. Let me say that again. 213-943-3667. And we want you to feel free to call in so we can pray with you. Amen.
Your name, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I get tired, and sometimes I get weak. That's why I'm calling
your name,
'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm calling your name, Lord, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I get tired, and sometimes I get weak. That's why I'm calling
your name.
Yeah, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
I'm praying this prayer right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm praying this prayer right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes my way gets hard, and sometimes my way gets up. That's why I'm calling
your name.
Yeah, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Sing this song right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Lord, I'm singing this song right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now. In the palm of your hand, right now, Lord.
Sometimes I'm weak,
right now, Lord.
And sometimes I'm tired, Lord,
right now, Lord.
And I need you to rock me,
right now,
in the cradle of your own, Lord.
Right now.
Yes, brothers and sisters, it's time for a miracle because we lead God right now. Yes, indeed. Amen. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott, and as a custom, we will begin the program today, the service today, with a prayer for healing, a prayer for miraculous intervention in our lives, a prayer for God and Jesus to show up and to share with us in this moment their miraculous power. Heavenly Father, bless Jesus. We stand before you. We kneel before you. We lie prostrate on the floor. Yes, we do, Lord. We press our heads against the floor. We know, Lord, that you are the mighty one, that you are the worthy one. We know, Lord, we are not even worthy to stand here, to lie here, to kneel here before you. But, Lord, we're here, and we ask in this moment for your mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. Like Ananias, kneeling before the gate. And he heard this hubbub, Lord. Yes, he did. And you know he did. And he said, what's going on? And they said, Jesus is passing by. And Lord, like Ananias, we call out and cry in Jesus' name, have mercy. Have mercy on us, O Son of God. Have mercy on us. Please have mercy. Lord, you know what miracles we need in our life, and you know that they're not miracles. We know they simply are your acting on our behalf. We'll accept them, Lord. We'll see them as miracles. But we know that your action in our lives, whether it's to heal our feet, to bring our knees back to wholeness, to bring our blood back to wholeness, whether it's to heal any and all wounds that may be on our body, including those wounds, Lord, the wounds of the heart. Lord, we ask in this moment that you take away from us any memories of transgressions that have been made. Lord, we ask that you forgive us in this moment. Oh, Lord, please forgive us. We beg you, Lord, please forgive us. And we, Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank Jesus for his forgiveness. We thank you for making us in this moment and in all moments whole. Lord, we ask that any and all connections, the people who are acting as the agents of the enemy, who are downloading into our lives their sorrows, their angers, their transgressions, their emotions, Lord, we ask in this moment that you bless them and heal them to the extent that they're willing to accept it. And most importantly, Lord, we don't ask for you to break our love bonds, but Lord, please block any and all of the negativity that they are bringing into us. Block any and all of the intrusions. Block any and all of the residue of their sufferings that they have indeed earned and taken on themselves. Lord, we ask that all that be blocked. And Lord, that whatever has come for them, please, Lord, we ask that you change this into divine, divine healing energy, divine healing light. Yes, Lord, lift us up. Please lift us up. Lord, we know that our rightful place is in the kingdom. Our rightful place is to stand at the side, at the foot of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, Lord, in these moments, you know that there are people and sometimes there are entities, devils and demons, in our environment, around us, Lord, who are acting as the sources of negativity, who are taking advantage of our open hearts, who are taking advantage of our kindness, and using that as an excuse, Lord, to interfere with the path on which we're walking, who take away, trying to block us from staying on a golden path, trying to push us away from the halls of mercy. Now, Lord, we acknowledge and recognize that they are there. And in this moment, Lord, having recognized that they are there, we give them no permission, Lord, to interfere with us. We ask to be released and are released from whatever binds and holds they have on us. Lord, we ask that all this be taken away. Lord, we ask again that you look at us, Lord, look at our lives, and whatever is in our background, whatever has happened in the past, Lord, that is acting to interfere with our movement forward into the kingdom of God, Lord, we ask in this moment that it all be taken away, that it be lifted from us, that we, Lord, be released from other, whatever holds, whatever unholiness that has been vested upon us, Lord. We ask, dear Lord, open your windows of heaven. Open the gates of heaven, Lord. Let your blessings, let those heavenly divine blessings, Lord, flood us and continue to flood us with your divine mercy. Lord, release again and help us to understand and to see the manifestations of your glory. Lord, we ask that the Holy Ghost be released in this moment, that the anointing that has been bestowed upon us and the evangelist, Lord, let it go to all the listeners, their families, their churches. Let it go out to those who are friends. Let it go out to those who are enemies. Lord, we ask that those blessings now uplift and sustain them. Lord, we ask in this moment again that the gates of heaven open. Angels and the saints be allowed to step forward, Lord, and to welcome us into your personal divinity and uplift us, Lord, and hold us, Lord, before the throne. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We know that you have blessed us, not just today, Lord, not just as the song says right now, but now, Lord, we know that your clock that has now on it goes throughout eternity. So, Lord, we're not just asking for blessings in this moment. We're asking and acknowledging your continuous blessings. Lord, let those blessings flow. Lord, release those blessings and help us to know that they are released. Lord, we know that before us you have established a golden path, a path of mercy and upliftment, a path of kindness and goodness, a path of joy and fulfillment. Lord, I feel it. As the evangelist says often, I feel Jesus in this place. I feel Jesus in the place. I love Jesus. I love God. I'm not going to take it back. And evangelist, I've got to use that because God has given it to me in this moment. I feel it. Lord, have mercy. Let all those who are listening at this moment feel your joy and upliftment and know that we are in eternity and that you're holding us in your hands and that any time we don't believe and know that we're with you, it's because we let our attention slip from you. God, Lord, Lord God, yes, 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 in this moment, Lord, we're living in a miracle, and the miracle is your love. And Lord, these blessings, as you know, we're asking in Jesus' name, Lord, have mercy.
I've held up yet. I believe that a miracle is getting ready to happen in this place. If y'all ready for a miracle, come on, let's have some hope. Thank you.
Yes, it's time for a miracle. And friends, a lot of times when I tell you about the history of this program, I want you to start it out, we called it the Universal Healer, and the reason was that God had given us the gift of supporting the healing and acknowledging the healing that you and we and the listeners are receiving on a day-to-day basis. And at one point in this program, we were having people on from various paths and walks of life, some of whom are psychics, and the evangelist says to me, Scott, she calls me Scott. She doesn't call me Gregory. She doesn't call me Dr. Scott. She said, Scott, why are you having all these psychics on your program? She said, you ought to have people on who can talk about Jesus, who can help them understand that Jesus is the way. And I said, well, evangelist, you know, some of these people, they're following Buddha, and some of them are following Confucius, and some are following Allah. And the evangelist says, I don't care nothing about that. Jesus is the way. And when you talk to people about healing, you need to tell them that they have to understand that they have to ask that the healing be done in Jesus' name. Now, friends, I want to tell you that I had a healing practice, active healing practice, using those different individuals, and I'd say to somebody, now, whoever you look to, she'd say, well, why are you telling whoever you look to? You need to tell them to look to Jesus. Now, my friends, I'm from Missouri, which is called the Show Me State, and even though I grew up in the Christian faith and I began to see myself as being an atheist and then began to look at all these different paths, just looked at them and said, well, okay, you know, Jesus, that's the old folks. That's my daddy trying to make me follow what he thinks is right. You know how many of us will hear things from adults and they'll say, no, I'm going to find my own way. Nobody was smarter than I thought I was at 22. I thought I knew everything. And the older I get, the less I realize, the less I know. But anyway, so I looked at all these things. I went through the Rosicrucians, and I looked at people with psychics and people who were soul travelers and people who would go out of their body and find out. And I was just looked at all that stuff. But you know what? Jesus is the way. Every one of those steps and every one of those things was to convince me and move me even more to appreciate how God and Jesus works in our life. At one point here in Dover, Delaware, which is where I'm located, I was the president of the local chapter of the Unitarian Fellowship. And every Sunday we would meet as a group and debate as to whether or not God existed. 11 o'clock in the morning, everybody's out in church, and here we are sitting up in the wing of a church building, St. Paul's Episcopal. It used to be right there in Camden, Wyoming, and West Street. We would sit there at 11 o'clock and have all these conversations about whether or not God existed. Now, finally, a fellow said to me, his name was John Craighead. He said, Scott, at that point, I think I was an airman in the Air Force here. He said, Airman Scott, he says, if you don't believe in God, why are you sitting around 11 o'clock in the morning talking about whether God exists? If you don't believe in God, why do you spend all that kind of time? And that was a weekend, some of you may remember, it was back in the middle 60s, of the biggest snowstorm that had been in Delaware for years. And I was snowed in, couldn't move a car, couldn't go anywhere. And it was on a Sunday. And I was sitting in a private room in that place where we lived, didn't have anything to read, picked up a Sears and Roebuck catalog. And I'm sitting there turning over in my mind, didn't realize that I was actually praying for an answer at the time, turning over in my mind, well, is there really a God? And friends, I want to tell you, and this is not a story I've told very often to many people, but I want to tell you that in this moment, I felt a power I'd never felt before. And it weighed me down. And coming from an old Christian background, I reached back to those roots because there was nothing in any of those things I had looked at, in none of those paths, not the Rosicrucians, not the Unitarians, not in anything that I looked at that explained to me what I was experiencing. And I felt this pressure on the top of my head, and it was pushing me down, almost pushing me to the floor. And I said, that's God. And as soon as I said that, I stood up, and the pressure was gone. And I said, but God doesn't exist. And the pressure came back. And, friends, that went on for 2 hours. I'm standing up. I'm being pushed down. And every time I say, well, it's God. And I felt a lightness in that moment. I felt God and Jesus in that place. Didn't even know what I was feeling. And I felt cleansed, and I felt brand new. And that Friday, when I talked to the people that I was in the service with, I was sitting down counting up how much money I was going to get as a reenlistment bonus, because they'd give you money if you reenlisted. And I was counting up those nickels, dimes, and quarters. I just knew I was going to reenlist and live out my whole life in the Air Force. And when I felt cleansed, didn't know what was going on, I felt like I was brand new. And all the fears, now I'm not saying that people stay in the Air Force are afraid, but I know I was afraid to get out. I just didn't feel like I would make it. I just didn't have any idea of how I could build a life outside of the military. And I was willing just to give up on seeking my own way and just stay in the service. That's what I was willing to do. And friends, when I went to work that Monday, I said to the people I work with, listen here, I'm getting out of the service. And they said, you what? I said, yeah, I'm getting out of the service. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I know I'm going to get out. And I called the Unitarian headquarters, which is right there on Beacon Street in Boston, and said to them that I believe that God has called me to be a minister. And I'm a Unitarian, and I believe that God has called me to be a Unitarian minister. And they said, well, now that's interesting. Where do you live? I said, I'm in Delaware. They said, well, you aren't too far from Washington, D.C., are you? And I said, no, I just live right across the bay from Washington, D.C. They said, well, this weekend we are having a seminar, a retreat, for people who want to be Unitarian ministers. Would you like to come and join us? And I said, oh, sure. And that validated me that God was calling me to his work. And I went over there and met some really wonderful people, had a great time talking about Unitarian ministry, that sort of thing. And for the next 2 years, I went around with people visiting different Unitarian churches and meeting different Unitarian ministers. And finally, one fellow who was Duncan McCulloch. No, Duncan, I can't remember his last name. I'm not sure it wasn't McCulloch. But I met this minister who was at one of the top of line, one of the top Unitarian ministers in the country. His church was the mainline Unitarian church, which tells you right away, mainline's where all the money is, up there in the Philadelphia area, and the rich people, wealthy people, very influential. And he says, Gregory, you're interested in being a Unitarian minister. I said, yeah. He says, have you looked around? He said, you know, basically he said without saying it, these Unitarians, they're all white people. You think they're going to make you a minister in their church and let you lead them and try to tell them how life should be? And understand, we're talking about the late 60s, and that's during the time a lot of the civil rights struggles were going on. And even though Unitarians were nationally known to support civil rights, still, when you looked at their churches, they're just, A, there weren't many African-Americans there or many people of color at all, and B, at that point, as far as I knew, there were no black Unitarian ministers. And so I had this feeling that I wanted to serve God in some way and became a community activist right here in Camden, Delaware. And I would say to people, I thought God had called me to be a Unitarian minister, but I realized that God had really called me to life, that God called me and basically said, don't you hide in the service. I need you out here helping people, helping them get grants, help them find a better way, and you need to become more than just, you need to go a little bit higher than being a high school graduate, a college dropout in the community, that you need to begin your educational training. Now, I'm just going to fast forward, and later on, perhaps in the conversation, we'll pick it up and tell you how, you know, how things worked, which brought me even more so nearer and dearer to the ministry, the Glory United Ministries, and the leadership that Evangelist Benjamin has given me and has inspired me and has been a vehicle and has acted, as you know, she's a prophetess, and occasionally she said to me, well, God is telling me that this is something you need to do. Like one time she said to me, she said, God is saying you need to read the book of Acts and you need to live the book of Acts, that you want to be a healer, but you've got to understand that it's God that does the healing. It's not you, and it's not about you. And so in this moment, we'll bring Evangelist on after the very next song, which will be Norman Hutchins, A Season of Miracles. In a minute then, what I really came to understand, and it was that God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker, and Jesus is the way. And I came to understand that because, as I said to you folks a few moments ago, I'm from Missouri. And basically the attitude is, when you're a Missourian, if there's something somebody says can happen, you need to try it out. And I took all that I knew from all the work I've been involved with and learned that when I called on Jesus, and my reference point was God and or Jesus, that a season of miracles began to ensue. Let every heart say amen. Yes, it's your time for a miracle, and now the miracle of Evangelist Prophetess Patricia Benjamin. Evangelist, you're live.
Yes, it's your time. It's your time for a miracle because the move of God is on the way. I'd like to say good morning to all our listeners, for God is good and he is worthy to be praised. I am so grateful for this is the day that the Lord, another day, that the Lord he has made, and I shall, and you shall, and they shall, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, Dr. Scott, that prayer was moving. I tell you, I did feel Jesus in this place, and you can adopt that anytime you feel Jesus in your place. It doesn't necessarily mean the room that you're in, the place of which, well, I'm explaining, the place that I'm talking about is in my soul. I feel Jesus in this place, in my heart. I feel Jesus. When the wheels began to turn of the Holy Spirit and you began to feel the presence of the Lord in your life, you can say like I say and like Dr. Scott has just said, I feel Jesus in this place. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. God is good and he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. I'm getting excited here. I feel him down in my sanctified soul. Ooh, my
yes, Lord.
God. Who would
yes, Lord.
Change a God
yes,
like
Lord.
That?
Yes, Lord.
My. Just tell the Lord thank you. Tell him thank you. Thank you. Oh, God, we thank you on this morning. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you, woo, that you're God that never fails. Ah, God never fails. He abides with me and gives me the victory for my God never fails. I tell you, I've had a headache for 2 days, but listening to the prayer that the doctor prayed on this morning, my headache left. Hallelujah. I thank God for Jesus. Hey, and I thank Jesus for the blood. Oh, my soul loves Jesus. Woo, bless his name. I feel Jesus in this place. I tell you, it's something about the name of Jesus that make me feel good. Ah, Jesus. Woo! Our God is an awesome God, and he reigns with wisdom and power. From heaven above, our God is an awesome God. I want to read on this morning, just 1 second, please. Just hold on 1 second. I'm back. I need to get to Isaiah's gospel this morning. You know, Isaiah is a very special book for me because when I was seeking the Holy Ghost and I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, the Holy Ghost is a gift from you, but I want to go about it in the manner of how I can receive the Holy Ghost, because we had different ministries explaining that you get it many different ways. Some had to go and sit and be endowed with the power. Some had to wait, and some received immediately the Holy Ghost. And back in the New Testament there, where you see Paul laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. But I watched the saints when I was a child, and some tarried, Jesus, 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 Jesus. They called Jesus until they went out of themselves, and the Holy Ghost began to rain upon them, and the evidence of the Holy Ghost being present in someone's mouth is that they began to speak in tongues, and that's what happened in the upper room. They all spake when the Holy Ghost came upon them, the scriptures say in Acts, that they spake in tongues. It came as a sound of the rushing mighty wind. Well, I didn't hear the wind rushing. I didn't feel a wind blowing, but I went to God and I said, God, I've got to have the gift of the Holy Ghost. I've got to receive the power, because the scriptures declare there in that book of Acts again that after that which the Holy Ghost have come upon you, ye shall have power. And I know that I cannot do the work of God and the will of God without the power of God for the obstacles that's going to come my way, to be able to overcome the fiery darts from the enemy. Even though I put on the whole armor of God, I still have to have the Holy Ghost to tell the devil to get thee hence, and he'll move out of the way, because he moves by the power that come out of the Holy Spirit. And I went to God. Oh, this was back in 1988. And I said, Lord, I've got to have more than just this. I need the seal of the Holy Ghost. And I said, God, how do I get the gift? How are you going to allow me to receive the gift? Am I going to go to church and the bishop or the elder or the evangelist Franklin is going to lay hands on me and I receive as they did in the Bible? Or am I going to do as I've seen others sit around the altar and say, Jesus, 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 until the Holy Ghost come upon them? God, how are you going to do me? And the Lord spoke, and he said, I want you to read the book of Isaiah in its entirety. I don't want you to rush. If you get to the fifth chapter of Isaiah, and I ask you to read it again until you understand it, and read it again, and again, it's no rush. And I tell you, I got up every morning and I anointed my head with oil. And I sat in my chair that I had designated to the Lord, that I would sit in that chair and meet him. And I met the Lord at 4 and 5 in the morning. By 5, I was sitting in my chair. And I began to read, and I read, and I read. And I'd go back and I'd read and I'd read. And in the afternoon, I would read again. And in the evening, I would read the Lord's word again, the book of Isaiah. And I read others too, but I was reading Isaiah for the Holy Ghost. And when I had completed the book of Isaiah, I was sitting at the table one Sunday morning, trying to eat my breakfast. And my God, the Holy Ghost got in my mouth. The fork went one way. The plate went another. And my husband sat across from me and he looked at me. He didn't know what really was going on, but I knew that it was the Holy Ghost. It was present in my mouth. And the Lord said, move yourself from the table and go and sit on your sofa. I'm going to saturate you with the Holy Ghost. And you talking about a time? I had a time right there in my living room receiving of the Holy Ghost. And don't you know, I wasn't late for church. Don't you know the food in the oven didn't burn up? I got dressed and went on to my church service feeling light. And the lady said when I walked past her pew, she was not feeling well. But the wind that came past her from me, she said she got healed. Ah, God, what a day, what a day, what a day. I shall never forget that day. And that's to encourage someone. I want to go to Isaiah's gospel, Isaiah 59, verse 1. Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, and this has something to do with Dr. Scott telling the story about how the pressure was applied upon him. And then when he said God, I believe he said when he acknowledged that God was real, that the pressure would leave. And when he denounced, it would come back. I was listening as closely as I could. But this is it's just, God is just awesome. Okay. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Let me just say that again. Let me read it again to you. Isaiah 59 and 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You see, when Dr. Scott opened up his heart and began to question God, are you real? Is it so? You know, I'm from Missouri. Show me God. God showed him right there, right then, because he opened up his heart to receive what God needed to pass down to him. And this is what we are going to have to do today, to get God to work in our behalf here, because the scripture goes on to say a little bit more, but I just want to give you a nugget here. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Some of you have questions in your mind. Why, God, haven't you done this? Why, God, is this like this? Why did those girls over in Africa get sold? They were kidnapped or what have you? Why did the boy at 17, you allow that the girl be raped right in school at 15? God, why? Why? Because your word in Isaiah said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. It's not that God can't do it. If he didn't do it, it doesn't mean that he cannot do it. But there is a purpose to everything. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. I'm sure, no doubt, the young lady, when the guy was forcing himself upon her and putting her arm behind her back and ripping her clothes, I'm sure she might have cried out, Lord, help me. But the scripture let us know there is still no fault or no failure in God. Yes, we want the girls found there safe in Africa, but it doesn't mean that God is not God. Lord, I thank you. Now, let's look at verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now, are you in that situation that you've been calling upon his name and saying, Lord, I need you to do this and I want you to do that. God, I need you to fix this and I need you to fix that. Put yourself in check with this second verse. Are your sins causing God to hide his face from you? Are the things that you're doing unbeknown to man, but God sees and knows all things? Have my sins separated me from God to the point that when I cried unto the Lord, he didn't come to my rescue? Or let's ask another question. My sins have not separated me from God, but God didn't show up that I could see. So now if God doesn't show up and my sins have not caused his ear not to hear my cry, then God getting ready to give us a miracle. He's getting ready to get the glory out of the circumstance or the situation that we're in. See, because God gets the glory, we receive the package, but God must get his glory. Now, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm not trying to discourage you, but I just want you to know some of you have been in the face of God for a while, and yet you're not admitting that, Lord, first, let me just admit, I'm wrong. I am not thinking right. I am not doing what's right, and I don't want to see myself. You've shown me myself many times, but I said, that's not me. That's my sister that you're talking about, God. That's my cousin. That's my neighbor next door. That's not me. I'm a good person. But God is saying, but your sins have stopped my ears from hearing your cry. When I was in a backslidden state, I went to church and evangelist brought the message, was admit it and quit it. And when I did that, some things opened for me. And I told the Lord, thank you. Now, let me just go back over here into Isaiah's gospel again. And I hope you still got a praise in your heart. We sing a song, I got a praise, I got a praise, and I got to get it out. I got to praise. And when you know that God's ear is attentive unto your cry, you will sing, I've got to praise and I got to get it out. Because I will praise God in the sanctuary. I will praise God upon the loud sounding cymbal. I will praise his holy name. Oh, I feel Jesus in her. Woo! In this place. Woo, my God, I feel him. Ooh, I'm on my shanda. Hey, hi, yes, Lord. Completely yes. My soul says yes. Now, let's go over here and let me encourage you. After you have realized that in the second verse of the 59th chapter of Isaiah, where it says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. That he will not hear. Ooh, you don't want that. You want to be able to call upon the Lord, and he'll hear your cry. And pity. You know, every God, I Walter Hawkins, Edwin Hawkins, one of the Hawkins brothers, they made I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live and while troubles rise, I'll haste unto his throne. Oh, I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Ah, how beautiful it is to cry out to the Lord in your time of trouble, in your time of need. Cry out, and God hear you. And it's another thing to not need anything and just be able to cry out, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, thank you, sweet Jesus. You're the lily of the valley. Ah, Jesus. You're the bright and the morning star. I thank you just for being God. Because of who you are, I give you glory. And because of who you are, I give you praise. Of because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, oh God, I worship you just because of who you are. I got a few more moments, and I'm going to turn this service back over to Dr. Scott. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Whew, let's go to Isaiah's gospel again. And the 58th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. You're my everything. Thank you, Lord. I told you this is my book, of that of which I received the Holy Ghost when I had completed it. So you can't mess with me in the book of Isaiah. I just lose it. Your love is lifting me higher. Oh, bless his name. Thank you, Lord, for the moment. Yes, God. Whew, Jesus, I'm trying to get my composure here to encourage you a little bit more. Isaiah 58:8. After you have dealt with yourself in the 59th chapter of Isaiah and that second verse, getting yourself repented so that God's face will shine upon you, because right now he's covered his face because of your iniquities and your sins. But once you get yourself straightened out with that second verse of the 59th chapter, then back up to the 58th and read verse 8 and 9. Woo, my God, I tell you, I love him. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Oh, my God, I love the word of God. It's rich and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, yes, it is. Then shall, listen to this, underline, circle, whatever. Then shall, this is verse 9, then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Look at, did you hear it? Did you hear that? Look at this. Can I read it again? Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry. Now you can go back and call him again. And he shall say, here I am. Stevie Wonder made a song, said, here I am. Signed, sealed, delivered, and I'm yours. I'm going to just use that today for the Lord is saying to you, here I am, signed by my blood, sealed with my love. I'm delivered unto thee, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the I am that I am. Here I am. You don't have to look for me now. My face is shining upon you. Your sins have been forgiven. Your iniquities have been removed. And I, the Lord your God, can step forward and meet you where you cry unto me. Oh, I love the Lord. And he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speak vanity, oh, bless his name. Oh, God, I love the Lord. Woo! Jesus is real. I know. And now Dr. Scott knows, without a shadow of a doubt, that his name is Jesus. And there is only one name given unto man whereby he shall be saved. And that is the name Jesus. God's Son name is Jesus, for she shall bring forth a child, and his name shall be called Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. Aren't you glad about it this morning? That the Lord is good, and he is worthy to be praised. If you're seeking the Holy Ghost, don't try to get it the way Grandma got it, or I got it, or Uncle Joe got it, but go to God. He is the giver of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. And say, God, complete me. I need the gift. The girl said, I need a little more Jesus. And just saying Jesus is all right, but you've got to have the seal of the Holy Ghost. Follow peace with all men, but holiness without no man shall see. I read the scriptures. If you want to argue about it's contradictory, or if you want to take that upon yourself, you go right ahead. But I got too many other things that I can do. I can do like David said. I can read it, then I can taste it, and then I watch to see what the Lord is going to do. So taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And his mercy endureth from everlasting to everlasting. I need a little more Jesus. If Amen. You haven't gotten what you need a little more Jesus to help you along the way. It has been my pleasure to be aboard again with you on this Thursday. We are here every Thursday of every month. And I am so grateful to be able to lift up the name of Jesus. He said, if I be lifted, and I be lifted from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. But it's my job to tell you about him, and it's his job to do the drawing. So I thank him for choosing me to be a vessel. And it is, I am a vessel of honor to be able to speak the oracles of God into your hearing. I thank God for Blog Talk. I thank God for Dr. Scott. I thank God for Jesus. Because he's real. The Lord Amen. Is real to me. Oh, bless his name. I am going to decrease so the doctor can increase. But thank you again for listening. And if our services is being a blessing to you in any kind of way, please feel free to send a little love offering to help us to continue to stay on the air with Blog Talk. And Dr. Scott will give you that information before we go off the air of how you can send just a dollar or two or whatever God lays upon your heart that we may stay on the air. But if not, pray for us that God will raise up someone who will. Amen.
Amen. morning. Good morning again. This is Bishop Dr. Scott, and the evangelist has asked me to let you know how you might be able to support this ministry. And again, this is not a requirement. We're not begging. We're just giving you information. If you're enjoying this program as much as we're enjoying it, then perhaps you will be moved to offer some support. Now, there's two ways, basically, that you can do it. The first way is to go to our website, which is glory-u.org. glory-u.org. And you'll notice that there are two pages there that have donation buttons on them. You want to go to the second page, which is the page that says About Us. And underneath the evangelist, you will see a link. Right now, the link on the first page is still not working. But the second page is. You click that, and that will allow you to use your credit card and or your debit card to make a donation of any amount, whether it's $1 or $1 million, whatever it is that you're comfortable with. The second way is that we can give you an address to which you might send a check or a money order. And that address is, it's at Glory, and that's all you want to put on the check. You can put Glory, G-L-O-R-O-Y. You don't have to write Glory United Ministries. You just write Glory, G-L-O-R-O-Y, and you send that to 386 Walmart Drive, that's just like the store, W-A-L-M-A-R-T, Drive, Suite 7, PMB 76. And that's Camden, Delaware, 19934. So make the check out to Glory. Do not put Glory United Ministries. That confuses the bank. Just make it Glory. And that's 386 Walmart Drive, Suite 7, PMB 76, Camden, Delaware, 19934. And if you want to personalize it, you can either put my name, Gregory Scott, or you can put the evangelist's name, Patricia Benjamin, in the checks two line. Well, once again, thank you for listening to our program. Today we were live, and boy, you could definitely feel that anointing. My heavens, have mercy. Probably ought to hear that one more time. So let's see if we can get Erica. This is Erica Campbell. See if we can get her back again.
Jesus, I need.